In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, today has been a special, eventful day. In our service, we had a baptism. It was very exciting, having this little boy being baptized, his parents, his godparents there, and going to look on. Baptism is the foundational sacrament, one that makes all other sacraments possible. So important, even so that Jesus even was baptized during the middle of his God's Son, fully God, fully man, who had had a perfect relationship with the Father, but he still was baptized in his own words to fulfill all righteousness. The church is so important that baptism always comes first, and everything else, the other sacraments, communion, all other sacraments come after. But why is that? It's because baptism infuses the new believer with a certain kind of grace. This is the starting point of this grace. This grace that shows up as the theological virtues, or you can also call them the supernatural virtues, of faith, hope, and love. These are the new virtues that raise up and elevate every other aspect of our humanity. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see I included a little virtue diagram today. It's something that I personally think looks both weird and interesting. I kind of like it. But it's meant to show it's actually seven virtues traditionally that the church has taught, with four natural virtues at the bottom, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, and then at the top, three supernatural virtues, faith, hope, and love. And the lines are there to show us how the divine grace flows through the virtues and elevates and improves and infuses the lower natural virtues. Perhaps the sum of both of these natural virtues can help a person be, a good person in the regular sense of the term. But being infused with supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love, they help a person to be supernaturally good. Raise you to a level of goodness that goes beyond what we can ask for or imagine. And baptism is that moment when the person is connected to God and receives the supernatural virtues that perfect all others. It's amazing to think that this little boy who was baptized today, he came in one way, but left something different. He didn't leave exactly the same. He received a gift that's going to forever transform his life. So how exactly might this work? Earlier, I was using the language of infusing. And our lives as Christians are infused with these virtues. When I'm at home, I can open some cupboards, and I can see my wife has a very full collection of water bottles. And she has one water bottle that actually opens at both ends. And at one end is where you open it and you traditionally just put it in the water, and that's fine. But at the other end, it's pretty neat. You unscrew the bottom, and then that unscrews into two pieces where you can put fruits in there, like strawberries and grapes, put lemons in there. And you seal it all up, put it back together, you put the water in there. And the water will actually take on the qualities of these fruits. So you can put strawberries in there, for example, and put water in, and let it sit for a while, and the strawberries fuse things into the water. It's no longer just regular water, it's a strawberry water. There's some extra vitamins, and it tastes pretty good. But the water itself has been changed. In a similar way, the waters of baptism have been infused with the Holy Spirit, which gives and graces faith, hope, and love to those who come to the waters. Just as we are immersed in the waters of baptism, figuratively, we are immersed in these graces, these virtues, which are gifts from God. And it would be too much to describe the effects of all of these virtues, because they really are so wonderful and such far-reaching effects. So we'll have to focus on one each week. So keep coming back and we'll get the rest of the story. This can last for the whole season of Epiphany, I hope so. But today we heard the story of Jesus' baptism. And the virtue that is most prominent in this story is love. So let's take another moment to picture this scene. Jesus comes to his cousin John for baptism. The heavens opened up and two things happen. One is that the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus and lands on him in form of a dove. And the second one is that they hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So both of these images I find are just tender expressions of love and caring and affection. Several years ago, there were some parishioners who since passed, sadly, but I used to go see them in our house, and they would have, they kept birds as pets, and they would let the birds fly around their living room. They didn't need to keep them in their cage. And so these birds would fly around, and every so often they would land on either the husband or the wife's shoulder. They would turn and look at this bird and say, "Oh, hello." The bird would just sit there. And they were so comfortable with each other. There was such a relationship between the people and the birds, between the masters and the pets, that they just had this very tender moment between them. Matter of fact, the husband, one day, he had something he was volunteering for at the church, and they just lived in the neighborhood around the church. And so he had to go in and didn't realize that this bird was perched on his shoulder. And so he got in his car and drove here, started walking around, and basically looked at him and said, "Mike, what are you doing with that bird on your shoulder?" He's like, "Oh, you came with me today." It was a very tender image. And it always reminded me of this scene from Jesus' baptism, with the dove, the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove, descending and landing on Jesus' shoulder. Very tender. And then there was a second detail. This was the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased." Wow, that is something else. Just to hear that voice, but not only the voice, but to hear the message. Hear the message of love, message of support, message of caring and affirmation. "This is my Son, my beloved, with him I am well pleased." These kind of interactions are always going on within the Trinity, and that's what we talk about when we say, we talk about Trinitarian love or life in the Trinity. This message of love, affirmation, and affection constantly being passed back and forth between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, given and received. Really a wonderful way to characterize these relationships. But for just a moment, picture this phrase that is just something that is said between a father and a son. It's a tender, loving, affirming, and supportive thing to say. "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I bet this little boy who is baptized today, and I'll bet his father says certain things to him time to time. So in today's day and age, we might condense it into something like, "I love you, and I'm proud of you." One of my teachers from years ago, Dr. Robert Hellman, he liked to describe the Trinity in these terms of love. Within the Trinity, there's not constant giving and receiving of love, support, affirmation, and affection. And we see the image of that in the baptism of Christ, with the Holy Spirit descending like on a dove, just sitting there. And then the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my Son, you are my Son, my beloved, you I am well pleased, I love you, I am proud of you." Imagine for a moment what our worlds would be like, everyone related to each other in this way of Trinitarian love. We were so tuned in to the love of God, this divine expression of love, that this is how we interacted with one another. It actually is possible as the gospel spreads from person to person. As human beings are raised up and transformed by these gifts of grace and by this divine love. The thing about this divine love is that it is above and beyond anything we could ask for or imagine. It's something that we can't see directly, but we can always see its effects. Like any of the supernatural virtues, divine love raises up and perfects the regular forms of love. You might think of the love between a parent and a child, which arguably is something very, very special. Or the love between a husband and a wife, or between two friends. Just different kinds of love, but love nonetheless. But all of them are raised up and perfected through the gift of divine love. Parents is able to love their child even more so than they imagine it. Two married people are devoted and support one another beyond what they would have considered previously. Two friends lift each other up, wanting nothing more than to see their friend thrive in their God-given life. Now the divine love, which in Greek is agape, something that raises up and perfects all these other virtues. Supernatural virtues are so wonderful because they have so much potential, so much raw energy there that transforms everything else. They are able to raise our ordinary human experiences to heights unimagined. They give a human being access to goodness previously unattainable. They are the form that divine grace takes as it transforms our lives. Today, this very precious, special little boy received this gift of divine grace, supernatural virtue of divine love. And even as little as 5 months old, God was already working in him to lift him up to new levels of goodness. As he grows and matures, this gift will show itself more and more, guiding his life into the full stature of Christ. All of us have been given the same gift. When we're baptized, it's just something that happened. God gives us this gift of divine love as well as the other virtues. And it's a gift that never leaves us the same. It raises us up, affects our other virtues, and lets us live a life based on love. Amen.